Life in the city has its share of strange and dangerous things. But at least in more populous areas, there is the expectation of the unusual, and a tolerance of the unorthodox. And acts of aggression or sedition are met with swift resolve in the strange find good company. But the city is not the province of the truly bizarre. The weirdest things brew where people have room to roam, under the cover of solitude, into the nooks and crannies that are tucked down too deeply into the landscape, into areas too secluded for the light of day to shine, or the influence of social norm to affect, or the long arm of the law to reach. This is a place where the expectation of consequence and the fear of retribution are unknown. This is where the schemers hide, the occultists practice, and the psychotic take refuge. This is where the overly curious do weird things, and the eccentric know no bounds. This is where the drifters wind up, where the addicts squat in abandoned land, or in silos, or even underground in hidden bunkers. This is where things that are oftentimes too bizarre or repulsive to believe can and do take place. Prepare your mind and join me in a journey into those hidden away places I like to call the Devil's Playground. A Man Named Forsyth, Part 11. His brains glistened in a dark gelatinous pulp oozing into a puddle of blood, the result of an exploding gunshot that at the same time had stunned my ears into temporary deafness and had awakened me from an alcohol-induced blackout. The only light in the room came from a humming luminescent bulb which cast a bluish hue on everything. I was in a confined space, but I was not being detained. I had no cuffs on my wrists. The body was Wilson's. There was a pistol in his hand. It looked like a suicide. My first instinct was to scramble to my feet. I felt a speckling of wet goo begin to go cold on my face, and I wiped it onto my wrist in a bloody smear. Fuck, that's gross. If what I was seeing was to be believed, Wilson had offed himself in a small room, presumably somewhere in or around the hangar where we had just been discussing the Yellow Book. My eyes darted around the room to see if there was any obvious sign of surveillance. I saw none, so I stared at Wilson's still twitching body to try to get any sense of why he had blown his brains out, and why I was in this tiny room with him while he did it. And he had apparently done it while I was passed out. So weird, but my head was spinning, and my mind and body were in survival mode. The Yellow Book was nowhere to be seen, but every fiber of my being was compelling me to get the hell out of this room and to find the nearest exit. So I opened the door and began to trot down the hallway, scanning every corner of my surroundings. I saw the familiar main area of the hangar looming, so I knew how to get out. There was no one else here. What the fuck? I sped up a little, still scanning to my left and right as I darted toward the exit. I jammed my hand into my pocket to fumble for my key fob. I pressed the button. At the same time, I felt the smartphone that the suited goon had given me to use for the cash exchange. I jumped in my car, turned the ignition, and bolted out of the joint like a stock racer running from the feds. In other words, like a bat out of hell. I received no resistance. This made no sense. As I barreled down the long road leading from the hangar to the main road, I felt the car vibrate. I stared at the dash and my hands shaking on the wheel. I looked up and saw a circular distortion in front of the car. It was a bluish-green plasma that shimmered like ripples on the ocean as seen from far above in the sky. I was going far too fast to process fully what I was seeing. And now a public service announcement from our sponsor.
Meat on sticks, lollipop cattails, orange sidewalk smegma. They call me Bernard from the sewer. Have you ever seen a scarecrow at a bus stop just sitting there without moving as industrial lighting flickers from underneath? It's creepy, man. I saw one when I was walking home the other night after my dumpster dinner. If I weren't so buzzed from the can of hairspray I squirted into my mouth as an aperitif, I might have avoided it. But as it were, I just sort of floated on by. You know what? Somebody left 3 wrapped cheeseburgers in the trash can outside my sky roof. I call that providence. Nothing like a late night snack after a night on the town, you know? Then I saw 3-eyed cats walking on the ceiling of my house in the sewer upside down. I was so messed up I had to piss. The beauty of my apartment is I don't have to worry about cleaning my toilet. My whole place is my toilet. Ain't that something? But don't let that scare you off if you happen to see me sunbathing on the roof sometime. Stop and say hi. I am very friendly, and if you have a cheeseburger for me, we can sit down together and I'll tell you another story. Thank you.
This has been a public service announcement. The next thing I know, I'm sitting back in the chair in the hangar with my hands on the yellow book. The shock of my sudden apparent teleportation caused me to release my hands from the book and slump back in my chair. Fuck! What did you see? I stared in the direction of the voice. It all happened so quickly, the dead body, the frantic escape, the teleportation, that at first, the familiar voice of Wilson gave me comfort. That comfort was soon replaced with fear and disbelief. This can't be happening. Forsyth, get a hold of yourself. What did you do to me? Did you slip something in my whiskey? You don't remember? What's the last thing you do remember? Sitting here, after your man gave me the smartphone, you were talking about them being able to get here, but we can't get there, and that we need to. That's about it. For some reason, I didn't want to tell Wilson that I just saw his dead body a few minutes ago, although I should have. Damn, you had a blackout. That has been known to happen, although it usually only lasts for about 30 seconds. You were in extra-dimensional telescopy for about 20 minutes. Extra what? Extra-dimensional telescopy. It's a way for us to assess probabilities. You were linked into the yellow book, and we also had you hooked up to this thing.
He picked up a helmet with a frontally obtrusive visor, not unlike an Oculus, that had apparently fallen off of my head.
We've received a number of technological gadgets that we use to achieve our ends here, Forsyth, and some of those gadgets have been modified by us. Most of the important gadgets involve the manipulation of gravity. The Ebens gave us a type of looking device, and we call it the looking glass. It is a portal through which we could peer both into the past and into the future. It's like a circular window that generates a strong gravitational field in its center. We've managed to split that field into 2 slightly offset ocular streams, one for the right eye and one for the left. And we've created a headset to give the user a completely immersive experience through the looking glass. At first, we thought that the looking glass was a direct and linear view into an inalterable and absolute past and future. This is not the case. We can view an infinite number of probabilities based upon our interaction with the looking glass. And furthermore, it creates probabilities for us to see based upon our intentions.
The way that we interact with it individually creates the reality that we see through it. I know that's a head full of information. I sat there and blinked at him, hoping that my poker face was as good as I thought it was. The reality of seeing Wilson dead on the floor was still palpable. I had seen his brain splattered and oozing out of his skull. I even knew the layout of the room where it happened, and I knew where the room was within this hangar, although I'd never really been there, right? So this was an alternate reality that I had witnessed by virtue of being hooked into alien tech? Okay, I'll buy that at this point. Shit. After everything I've seen so far, why the fuck not? If what he was saying was true, did I will that reality into existence because I hated Wilson? What I didn't know was, if I had looked into this alternate reality, why did I forget how I got there? And why in the hell could I have made Wilson blow his brains out? That was completely out of character with the gruff, self-assured Wilson I knew and hated. Only time would tell. Thanks for listening to the Devil's Playground Show. Check out our site at thedevilsplaygroundshow.com. Check out our merchandise store at tinyurl.com/thedevilsplaygroundshow.
You've been listening to The Devil's Playground.